can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down.
Yes. Well, you know, hey, you gotta wonder what's going on. Since yesterday, you saw James Comey, who, look, going to go down in history as the guy who not only gave Trump the presidency, but may have been the guy who started the demise. And look, historic. Yesterday's announcement, in my view, historic in the fact that, yes, there is an investigation of a U.S. president colluding or, as Comey put it, collaborating with the Russians. And I guess that's where I start. I start out with just a big because all of the distraction, all of the other stuff, you cut to the chase, and the chase is that there is there. And here to talk a little bit about yesterday's big hearing and where we go from here, I've asked our good friend David Yankovich to come talk with us. David, thanks for taking time for us.
Always, Rick. Thanks for having me.
So, I mean, am I reading too much into Comey's testimony yesterday? I think this is huge, to use a Trump word.
No, it's absolutely huge. It's historic. It's going to be what the history books, when they start the first paragraph, this is where it began for the proceedings for impeachment. It all started today, well, yesterday. What we're looking at is treason. Everybody says Logan Act, colluding, whatever word you want to use. At the end of the day, he committed treason. And the president of the United States is being investigated for treason. And I don't care what word you want to use, that's what it is.
Were you surprised by the Republicans who seem to be, I guess the only argument they've got is to try and change and misdirect and go, we're going after the leakers. It's the leakers. It's, you know, it's the felony over the treason.
Well, it's I'm shocked but not surprised. They have shown this entire time that they are not willing to engage in any type of review of Russia or any of the things that have happened. They have drugged their feet. A lot of people say at this point that they could be in on it. The RNC was hacked. So, no, I am not surprised in the least that they did what they did. And I won't be surprised that they dragged their feet the whole way. But I promise you, somewhere, Paul Ryan's measuring drinks for the Oval Office.
And you got to wonder if you know that wasn't part of somebody's plan.
If it was, we are living House of Cards, you know, that TV show.
Yes, and I love it.
I mean, if someone was able to plan this to this level, I mean, that's diabolical genius. I hate to say that word, but that's what it is.
Now, you know, in looking at the testimony, because, you know, I watched as Republicans kept trying to get him to, you know, release names or to go through, you know, to give inside information, you know, that he clearly wasn't going to give. Did you find anything that came out of his testimony that was, you know, that was something that you said, that's huge?
There was a couple things. One of it was when he was being questioned and he had to explain how the electoral process works to the senators and the Republican, house there. To me, that stood out because they not only are not willing to understand that the president is committing treason or colluding or doing whatever word you want to use for it, but that they're trying to turn it around and bring Hillary into it. And a lot of them are bringing Bill Clinton into it. And what this comes down to at the end of all things is Donald Trump's campaign got with the Russians and interfered in an election that he won. Had this been reversed, had it been the Democrats and this is the opposite, where would we be right now? I don't even think we'd be having hearings. I think the impeachment process would have already started.
Yeah, they'd have been building the gallows.
Yeah, pitchfork and musk at the time. You know, it would have been brutal.
But here's the thing, and you know, you listen to some of the rhetoric around this, and again, this is one of those things that just blows my mind of how divided of a country we are. You know, I remember growing up at a time where if you would have thrown out that the Russians had thrown an election, it didn't matter what your party was. It didn't matter, you know, where you ideologically fell on the map. You immediately said the Russians did something. We need to fix that. Yet, you know, I'm seeing this team sport divide.
Oh, it's time to put country first, party second, really party should be third, but we're in a place right now where we got to put everything aside and we just got to fix what's broken. Unfortunately, we have so many members of Congress that are special interest bots that, you know, are beholden to, you know, the party line and everything else, that they're not going to let that go. And it has to. This is too important. This is Civil War important. I mean, I don't think anything like this has happened since Lincoln's time or ever. And I mean, they have to become patriots first. They have to do country first now.
Were you surprised by yesterday morning's early morning tweet fest out of Donald Trump, you know, trying to misdirect this to try and, you know, trying to, you know, basically say it's all fake news and, you know, kind of like the, you know, nothing here, move along kind of thing?
Absolutely not. We've seen this every time anything bad comes out, anytime bad news happens for him, he goes on a tweet fest of blaming or wiretapping or any of the other stuff that, you know, happens. And I mean, no, it's not surprising at all. It's disappointing. I hate that I'm not surprised. I hate that I know that the president of the United States is immediately going to go to Twitter and say a bunch of stupid things. I hate that. And no, I'm not surprised.
And here's the thing, 37% approval rating in the last poll.
He's historic. So much winning, I can barely stand it.
Are you tired of the winning? Are you tired yet?
Yeah, I'm so tired. So tired of the winning.
If this is what winning looks like, maybe we need to re-examine the definition?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard stories about what it was like inside the Clinton White House during the Lewinsky scandal and everything else. And they said it was paralyzing. No work could get done. Nobody could focus. Everybody was traumatized. And I know that the same thing's happening now. We're starting to see it from staffers and things like that. They're scared to bring their phones to work. They're scared to turn them on. So we know that the work of the American people isn't being done. And we also know that foreign policy and that sort of stuff isn't being monitored the way it needs to be. So we're in a really dangerous situation.
And kind of playing along those same lines. I mean, the reality is I don't want anything to get done right now because it's all horrible stuff. I mean, if you look at the agenda that the Republicans have put forth, paralyzed, I'm okay with.
Yeah, I'm like, for me, it's go golf. You like golf. Go golf. It's fine.
Yeah, I mean, go. And I guess the money is, does he go 8 weeks in a row to Mar-a-Lago?
You know, $3 million a weekend. They're trying to cut Meals on Wheels. They're trying to cut the Coast Guard program. All the things that, I mean, you're right, the policies are horrible. But there are geopolitical things that the president and the White House and the State Department, National Security Council needs to be paying attention to. And you know they're not. First off, we know the State Department's been gutted. The National Security Council's been gutted. So there are issues that are probably happening throughout the world right now that we don't know about that are classified, that are developing. There are things that should be paid attention to. And unfortunately, right now, we know that we're in a dangerous situation. Anytime that the president is in office right now is a nowhere day that we want of progress in the world and our world standing and reputation. We really have to move forward and get this complete.
Yeah, you know, and here's the thing. There's a lot of things going on around the world that we don't know about. And I believe there are a lot of things going on around the world that he doesn't know about. And that's a scary premise.
I was thinking earlier about an 80s movie where the president was bought by Russia. And it would be a flop. Everybody would have said that this is so unrealistic. I can't, you know, it's a flop. But here now, this is what's happened. Nobody could even write something so dumb like this. It's mind-boggling. I find myself a lot of times just stammering over words because I have no idea even how to explain this to people.
You know, but here's the thing, and at the end of it, and I talked about this yesterday on the program, that, you know, it is kind of like a bad 80s Soviet movie, what we're seeing. And the Washington Post had a story over the weekend that said that, you know, the Trump administration has basically given a spy to all of these different agency heads, and they've actually got, you know, people who are spying on cabinet members and reporting back. In fact, one of them was assigned to James Mattis, who they affectionately coined, gave him the nickname of the Commissar, which I thought, wow, perfect. Kind of Soviet mentality right there front and center.
They haven't hit it. They really haven't. There's so much investigations of guys that are, you know, going through this and women who are, they have not hidden their tracks well. I mean, we have Flint with, you know, all the stuff that he was doing in Russia and Turkey. He was being paid while he was National Security Advisor. I mean, he's going to be the first one to go to jail. Then after that, the dominoes will start falling. But they have not hid any of the treason or colluding or whatever you want to call it with anybody. It's all out there and it's all easily searchable.
Wow. I mean, you know, I know we've had this conversation before, and to be honest, I've thought a lot of things over the last year, the last couple of months. But did you really, honestly, did you see us being in this position right now where, you know, you're talking about treason of a U.S. president?
I didn't see us where we are now because the resistance is a lot stronger than I initially gave us credit for. I thought it was going to be worse. I thought that he would have came in and basically just pulled the curtain down. But there's been a lot more opposition, more vocal. The Democrats have stood up a lot more. The opposition has a resistance. Everybody has fought a little bit harder than I thought they would. And it stopped a lot of the policies. Remember, the first thing the Republicans wanted to do, first bill out of the gate, was to gut ethics. And they didn't get it done because we stopped them. And, I mean, it's just more and more and more of the same stuff. But, I mean, I thought it was actually going to be worse than this. I want to say, like, everybody out there who's listening, who's opposing this, like, you have given everybody hope. Keep protesting. Keep getting out there. Keep talking to everybody.
Yeah, because I look at this, and at the end of the day, the only way this stops is if we make it stop. We talked with Propane Jane yesterday, and, basically you look at, the temper tantrum that we saw out of Trump last week with his meeting with Angela Merkel. You look at, the 3 a.m., the tweeting stuff. You look at all of this stuff, and we kept going, who's going to hold him accountable? Like any parent, if a kid throwing a temper tantrum, there are things you have to do. Who's going to do that? And I've come to, it's got to be us.
It has to be us. No one else is going to. If we get to jam Washington and close it down, it's going to have to be us. Nobody else can do it.
And the hope is that, that people stay active, stay engaged. Because look, I can't tell you how many people I've talked to. We're not even 8 weeks into this. I mean, I guess yesterday at noon it was 2 months?
Two months, yep.
Exactly 2 months. And I know people who are saying, I'm just so burnt out. And I'm going, 46 more to go.
We don't have time to be burnt out. We don't have time to quit and everything. When history is written about this and our grandchildren this time, they're going to look at it in a paragraph, not in weeks, not in months, not in years. It's going to be paragraph. Everything's happening very quickly in terms of politics. It's just that living it is excruciating. But history is going to be quick. It's going to be, this is a presidency that lasted less than a year and he was impeached. And it's going to be the crime of the century, the trial of the century. But Trump pardons every single person, including himself. We just have to stay the course. We can't get tired now. This is too important. Your lives are at stake. Can't get tired.
Yeah, I agree with you. And for anybody who thinks that Trump can be presidential, I just point to that meeting with Merkel last week and the behavior during the press conference. You go, that guy is unsuitable to be president of these United States on any level. And I don't care who you are at this point. No one can look at that display and say, oh, yeah, that's the guy. That's the leader of the free world.
Now, the leader of the free world will sit next to him.
And that is the truth. I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, what we saw out of just that little display, that sends a message around the world, and not a good one.
Well, one of the last of Obama, when he was meeting with the world leaders, was several of them standing on the stairs, and Obama's walking up, and they're clapping, and they have looks of adoration on their face. And it's completely different than the look that Merkel gave him when he talked about wiretapping and Obama tapping her.
Yeah, what's that about?
We're in the twilight zone. Somebody killed a butterfly somewhere, and we're living in an alternate universe right now where a crazy person is president.
Yeah, I mean, is that what it is? I mean, maybe we'll wake up from our hallucinations at some point really soon.
I hope so. I always wondered about time travel. You see those pictures, If there was time travelers, someone would have came back and told us that this is going to happen. So.
No, I mean, it's just a bad episode of the Twilight Zone, then.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it feels like. I mean, Hillary's supposed to be president. She won the election. She had more popular votes. People can say whatever she wanted or they want to about her campaign. It wasn't the greatest. We all know that. But she won. And had Russia not happened, had, Comey's letter or Comey's letter not happened in the last week, I think that things would have been different. She won the election. And I wonder, at the end of all this, when they find out that Trump colluded with Russia, committed treason, Pence was in on it, are they going to give the rightful woman the presidency who won it? Or are we just going to pretend like this never happened and just, give it to the Speaker of the House?
No, I mean, but here's the thing. I go back to, and you've hit on the Russia thing, which I think is extremely important. But for me, the bigger thing, because I expect Russia to try and interfere in our elections. The bigger thing for me is still, and I know I'm maybe just stuck on this, but the bigger thing for me is the gerrymandering and the voter suppression that happened all across this country. And, you know, because I keep getting people saying, well, Rick, you know, it wasn't the Democratic voters. You know, you're part of the problem. I'm going, it's the electors. They go, well, no, it's the number of people who are allowed to vote. I mean, that was it to me.
If we continue on the track we're on with gerrymandering and voter suppression, we're not going to be a democracy anymore. Because anybody who is an elected official, you know, looking at this would say that it's suppressing the vote of minority voters. And there's nothing democratic about that. I mean, election monitors from other countries and things, you know, of that nature, I can't imagine that being something that is okayed. And if you look at a lot of the districts, you'll see that, I mean, they're gutted. They go around major cities. They're actively trying to keep the house.
Yeah, and they're going to need to, because this upcoming election, I think 2018 is going to be a bloodbath for the Republicans. If all of what we're seeing continues, and I hope it is. Look, we need a sea change, because we are seriously, if you thought we were on the wrong track last year, we are definitely, we're off the tracks now. So let me ask you this, you know, kind of the last line of questioning then. Because I'm hearing some rumors bouncing around about you, having gone moved back to your hometown in Ohio, some possible you thinking about running in the 16th congressional district there in Ohio, which again heavily gerrymandered. Are you running? Are you in? Are you doing this?
I was wondering if you were going to ask that.
Well, I gotta ask. Look, at the end of the day, we need people to run against these T-twits who have really done horrible damage to this country. We need patriots to stand up, David.
No, I totally agree, and I'm definitely considering running. I advocate to everybody all the time: get out there, run for something, fight for something. And I'm thinking about it, and I'm studying it, definitely researching. But you know, listen, my opponent's strong. The 16th, it's gerrymandered, like you said, and I have to do it right. So, you know, right now I'm looking into, you know, if I have the support to take them to the ledge and drop them. I need the support.
It's like anything. You need volunteers. You need money. You need all of that. You need infrastructure. You need all that stuff to run a competitive campaign. But, you know, in highlighting the point that you made about gerrymandering, you know, I'm looking at that district and I'm going, you know, all of the poverty centers have been cut out of it. And again, you know, you go back to what we talked about a minute ago, that, you know, poor and minority voters seem to be suppressed or moved around. This district, this is the poster child for that kind of gerrymandering and basically silencing of voices.
I'll tell you what, Rick, if I run, it'll be the poster child of how to win in a gerrymandered district. But like I said, I need the support. I need, you know, Ohio 16th. If you guys want me to run, if you want me to be in this race, I have to have the support for it. And you guys are seeing it. You're seeing the gerrymandering. We have to fight it. We have to get through it. But at the end of the day, like, we need a really strong showing. We need to turn out in numbers in 2018 that are historic, that no one's ever seen before. We need to demolish records to win.
Now we need it. We need patriots and people to stand up and say what we're seeing right now, definitely not okay. And in my view, hold the Republicans accountable for what they have brought us. This isn't just Donald Trump. It's all down the ticket.
Well, they all embrace them. You know, they're happy. They're absolutely happy that their policies are getting through. Paul Ryan the other day said that they've been talking about getting rid of Medicaid since they're, you know, doing keg stands. Like, what kind of parties were you going to? Because,
exactly.
I mean, guys like me and you were talking about changing the world and making things better for people. They're talking about taking money from people who need it in college, really?
Yeah, but, I mean, again, you got your definition of what changing the world is. I wanted to change it for the better. He wanted to, you know, take food out of the mouths of old people.
It's unbelievable. This Meals on Wheels thing, $10 million, that's all it costs. $10 million. It's nothing in comparison of other things in the government. That is literally one helicopter.
Yeah, maybe if we could get Trump to stay home for a couple of weekends, we could pay for it.
Well, he's already up over, what, 30 million,
yeah.
20 million? By the end of the year, he's already going to pass Obama in 8 years.
Or maybe bring, the wife, Melania, into the White House so we don't have to cover three residences.
You know, I feel bad for the Secret Service because they got to be stretched thin.
Dangerous, dangerous times, my friend. Again, I want you to run. You got to get in this. And I'm hoping people in the 16th will give you the support and the push and get behind you, because we need folks to step forward, stand up, and, well, take us back. At least get us back on the tracks toward the right direction.
Tell you what, I'm in if you guys are in.
There you go. David, I appreciate the time, man.
Always, Rick. Thanks for having me.
Great talking with you, David Yankovich. Again, if you want to take a look at some of his writings, we'll get a link at thericksmithshow.com. You can just click on David's name, take you right there. Quick break, right back. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. Well, we're working people. Come and talk.
Let me tell you the news. My head's been wet with the midnight dew. I've been down on bended knee, talking to the man from Galilee. He spoke to me with a voice so sweet, I thought I heard the shuffle of angels sweep. He called my name and my heart stood still when he said, John, go do my will. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut him down, tell him that God's gonna cut him down.